Did anyone grow up in a home that had a lot of rules? And by your laughter, I think probably some of you did grow up in a home with a lot of rules. And I grew up in a home that had a lot of rules. Like one of our rules was bedtime. We had to be in bed at a certain time. And we also, in our house, we could not call people before or after 9 o'clock. That was against the rule. We would also, when we ate food, when we have a meal, and Mom would make a new food and we weren't so sure about it, she would often say that we have to eat 3 bites before we go on to something else. And growing up, now having grown up, I see the wisdom in just getting it done quicker. Because if you wait, the food gets cold and it's not as good, and so just get it over with. But probably the rule that I remember the most from when we were growing up was how we were supposed to answer the phone when someone called our house. And this was before the day of caller ID. And so, you know, I know a lot of us in here probably remember those days. We had one phone in the house, so it's not like we had multiple phones, no caller ID. And because Dad was a preacher, it wasn't uncommon for people to call the house. And in our house, kids could answer the phone, but this is what we had to say every time. Hello, thank you for calling the Brown residence. This is Mark speaking. How may I help you? And growing up, that felt very formal. But now that I've grown a little bit, that feels a whole lot better than me calling someone and getting an answer like, who dis? What you want? And so I kind of get it a little bit. I went on Facebook this week, and I asked if any of us had, or my friends on Facebook had rules growing up, and or rules that they have now or growing up. And I had some great responses, and if you responded, thank you so much. These are some of my favorites. Scott Jackson, is Scott here? I like this one. He said, if no one confesses, everyone gets a spanking. And then Becky Eveland, I went to college with Becky. She says, my parents had the rule you could only eat 2 Oreos at a time. My sister then told her husband he couldn't sit down with 5 Oreos, and he asked why. She said, because that was the rule. He replied, this is our house, and we can eat however many at a time we want. But I'm guessing he only ate 2, because that's how many he probably wanted to eat at that moment as a dutiful husband. My friend Stephanie, she said, we have a rule about no chewing gum in the car. 5 kids smacking gum in a confined space is torture. We understand that. I like this one from Mary Beth Picker. My dad wouldn't let us chew gum in public. And I think it would be a good thing if anybody wanted to mail her a package of gum this week with a picture of the outdoors and a little note that says, go nuts. And just see what she says. And then this one was my favorite from Beth Moore. Leave your wet bath towel on the floor. If you leave your bath towel on the floor, you get a hand towel. Leave the hand towel on the floor, you get a washcloth to dry off. Leave that on the floor, looks like you're drip drying. Hang up your towels. It works. And if you're going to clap, commit. No, don't do this. I loved reading all of your rules that you had or currently have, and I appreciate you all playing along. But the point is, everybody has house rules. This is nothing normal. Rules have been around since people were created. And one of the things that we're going to see this morning, as next week is Father's Day, we had Mother's Day a couple weeks ago, and we're kind of in this between spot before we go to our big series in Luke. So I thought it'd be good to have a sermon for and about children and parenting. And one of the things we're going to see this morning is that when God inspired the Bible to be written, he had something to say specifically to kids about rules. And I've asked my friend Jack Mitchell to come on up, and he's going to read for us our passage of Scripture. So out of respect for God and his holy word, if you'd please stand for the reading of God's word.
Verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it might go well with you and that you might live long in its land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and then instruct them of the Lord.
Amen. Let's pray, Jack. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for my brother Jack, and I thank you for the clear reading of the Word of God, and I thank you for the kids. Lord, help us to become obedient, reverent people. You are worthy to be obeyed. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jack. Y'all may be seated. Did he make motion for everybody to sit down? I love it. I love all of the Bible, but one of the things I like about passages like this as a parent is that I feel vindicated. When I come to passages of the Bible, I feel vindicated, especially when it's been a tough week and the kids have been kind of squirrely. It's one of those passages that I can go to with our family and say, see, I told you so. And that feels really good when it's kind of been a tough week to say, I told you so. Children by nature, moms and dads, come out of the womb hating the environment. They hate the world. They hate the environment. And if you don't believe me, you just need to go home this afternoon and count how many times you have to tell your children to turn off the lights, close the refrigerator door, or close the door to the outside because either the cold air is getting out or the hot air is coming in. Something's moving. And some people have told me that kids are forgetful, but I don't believe that because they have every word memorized to Disney's Moana, a movie about a girl who runs away and meets up with a homeless tattooed man and to go have an adventure. They know that story thick and thin. Every word, every song, every note, they know that story, but they can't seem to remember, hey, turn off the bathroom light. Turn off the bathroom light. And so I can come to Ephesians 6 when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and feel vindicated because they should turn off the bathroom light. Is everyone listening? What we got to do, turn off the bathroom light. And some of us, when we think of parenting and obedience, we often think of peace. You know, if my kids could obey and then everything would be peaceful, everything would be fine. But Paul, in this passage, he actually gives us a deeper reason of why children should obey. It's not just about peace and order, even though those are good things. In fact, the reason that this section about children obeying their parents has been written is because Paul, way back in chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, says this, giving thanks always and for everything to God our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So he gets close to the end of chapter 5 by saying, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, and then he goes through different relationships, and then he gets to the kids, and his big point is, kids, if you love Jesus, one of the ways that that is going to work out is by your obedience to your parents. One of the ways that we show reverence to God is by the way we treat mom and dad, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So kids, what this verse is saying is that one of the ways you show you love Jesus is by obeying your parents. Because mom and dad, if your children don't know how to submit to the authority at home when they're younger, there's no way when they get older that they'll be able to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. They just won't. If they don't submit to you when they're younger, they won't submit to Jesus when they get older. In fact, I would say it this way. A child who won't respect mom and dad won't respect God. Because a child who won't respect mom and dad won't respect their teachers. A child who won't respect mom and dad won't respect their employer. And it's a dreadful thing when children won't respect their parents. And it often starts out so young. Because when they're two and they start throwing a fit and they tell their parents to do things like, hey, shut up. And we kind of laugh because they're two. I mean, it's so adorable to see a two-year-old throw a fit like that. And we laugh. But if you've seen kids grow up, it's easier to get a hold of it when they're two than when they're 20. And there's a direct correlation that how we love the Lord will start with the way we love at home. So parenting is about much more than just the family. Parenting and obedience is actually about the gospel. And it's about a love for Jesus. And we want our kids to love Jesus with all their heart. But the love for Jesus and the obedience they show you as parents is directly tied together. It's directly tied together. An obedient heart in the family cultivates a heart for the love of God. So if you're a child in this room this morning, still living in the home, and when I say a child, what I mean by that, if mom and dad are still supporting you, so you may be 20, you may be 35, you may be 55, and if mom and dad are still supporting you financially, fully, then this includes you. It also includes the younger ones, babies 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and on up. So if you're a child this morning in this room, still living at home, and you see that you're supposed to love Jesus, because it says submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, and then Paul says, children, obey your parents, I want to ask you the question, how are you doing this morning? How's your love for Jesus? Because the way you're going to show your parents that you love Jesus is by the way you treat your parents. So how do we do this? How do we love Jesus? How do we obey our parents? Well, Paul, in this passage, he gives us two ways that we're supposed to respect our parents. And the first way is this, through our actions. Through our actions. In fact, verse 1, it says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The obey is an action word. Obey your parents. And I want every child in this room to look up at me for a moment. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I want every child to keep their eyes on me. And I'm going to tell you this because I love you. Is every child listening? All right. Here it is. And I say this because I love you. You are not in charge at your house. And all the parents say. Kids, you are not in charge at your house. If mom or dad tell you to do something, you need to do it the first time with a good attitude, because you're not in charge. Mom and dad are in charge. Because here's what's going to happen, kids. If your parents can't trust you in the little stuff, like keeping the lights on because we are lights off because we tell you to keep the lights off, and we need you to make your bed, we need to take you to take care of your hygiene, we need you to wash your hair appropriately, get all the soap out, and we need that stuff. We will remind you, but we need you to get better about it. If we can't trust you in the small stuff like that, it's going to be really hard for your parents to trust you in the bigger stuff that you want to do in life, like going on trips and hanging out with friends and the way you handle money. It's really hard if you as kids don't have the little stuff down, that you feel like it doesn't matter that much, and I don't know why mom and dad are always talking to me. If you don't have that stuff down, there's no way when you get older that they're going to want to trust you with the bigger stuff. Why would they? They don't trust you when you're with them. How are they going to trust you when you're out of their sight? So one of the ways that you show that you love Jesus is through your actions to your parents. Obey your parents because of the Lord. The second way, the first way is through obedience. The second way that we're supposed to show our love to Jesus by respecting our parents is through our attitude. Through our attitude. This is verse 2. Honor your father and mother. So obey in verse 1, that's about action, obedience. But in verse 2, when it says honor, that's about attitude. Attitude. So kids, it is not enough when mom and dad tell you to go make your beds for you to do it with a bad attitude. What you have to do is make your bed with a smile on your face, and all the adults say, that's what we're supposed to do. And moms and dad, isn't this what we want? At our house, when Deborah and I want something done, we want it done no matter the attitude. We really do. If we asked it to be done, We want it done because we want it done. But there is nothing better to our ears and better to your parents' ears, kids, when you have a good attitude. When you're asked to do something and you do it the first time and you do it with a good attitude. And I don't know about your house, But in our house, I'm just leaving, I'm done. In our house, it's not uncommon for two words to kind of float around when we talk to our kids. And I don't know if they float around in your house. I went to the store and asked for all the stars, and I think that's a bad decision. That one down. One of the words that we hear every so often when we tell our kids, and I don't know if it's like this at your house, but one of the things that we tell our kids is when we need them to make their bed or brush their teeth or wash their face, one of the words, a puzzle, one of the words that we often hear is but. But. Go make your bed. But I just want to finish. Well, Ephesians 6:2 says to honor mom and dad. So part of that is a good attitude. So when mom and dad kids say, we need you to go do this, the last thing your parents need to hear is this word. That's the last thing they need to hear. The other word that we sometimes hear is this other one called just. So we'll say, hey kids, we need you to stop poking on your sister. Well, I was just, or quit hitting on your sister. Well, I wasn't hitting, I was just messing her with my foot. And we find loopholes. And for us to honor mom and dad and love Jesus, kids, we need to not only obey them, but we need to have a good attitude. We need to take but and just and not use them anymore. When mom and dad speak, you need to listen because they're in charge. They're in charge. We don't like loopholes as parents. We need to get rid of these two words in our vocabulary. And if you're a kid this morning, let me help you out because I don't want anyone to have a lot of discomfort in your life. Try this out and see if it's true with your parents. Try it this week. If your parents get the idea that you're trying to argue with them, things might shut down pretty quickly. So, for instance, let's say, I know this doesn't ever happen in our house, but let's say in your house, one of your kids comes in and says, Mom, I need a drink. Drink. There it is. I need a drink. I'm working on my vocabulary the best I can. Now, in our house, if someone would say, Mom, I need a drink of water, we give about 2 seconds of airtime to that. And then I say, can you think of any other way that you might want to ask ask that question? Because you don't have permission in my house to tell my wife anything. You don't. She's in charge. We lead together. And so they'll think about it for a minute, and then they'll come back with, Mom, can I have a drink of water? And I'll say, no, that's not good enough. Try something else. Because what I really want to hear is, Mother dearest, you beautiful, beautiful woman who carried me in your womb for those long, long months and have taken care of all my needs every time, and I know you'll take care of my need now. If you have time. And I understand if you don't. Will you help me get a drink of water? And I guarantee, kids, if you go into the room and you ask your parents for help instead of telling your parents about the help they're supposed to give you, I guarantee you'll get a lot further with your parents than with the arguing. I don't like to be argued with. And I don't like anyone to tell my wife what to do. So it goes a long way with your parents, kids, is if they don't ever get the feeling that you're trying to tell them to do something, because remember the first thing I said to you, you're not in charge. And that's not a downplay on you, it's just as we're going to find out, the reason why it's that way. When kids ask for help instead of demand what they want, it's one of the ways that you show you respect Jesus, because I can't imagine any of us going to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, and saying, Jesus, I need you to do something. No, we would think about we would ask him. We would ask him. We would not demand anything from Jesus. So those are two ways, kids, that we can respect our parents and love Jesus, is through our actions and our attitude. But Paul, he goes deeper and he tells us why. Why should children obey? Well, the first reason, there's two reasons of why we should obey. The first reason is simply because it's right. This is what Paul says in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Period. The reason children should obey is because this is the right thing to do. Every culture in every time throughout the world that I'm aware of has had this practice. As John Stott, the famous preacher and theologian, wrote, child obedience belongs to the realm which in medieval theology is to be called natural justice. It does not depend on special revelation. It is part of the natural law which God has written on human hearts. It is not confined to Christian ethics. It is a standard of behavior in every society. Pagan moralists, both Greek and Roman, taught it. Stoic philosophers saw sons' obedience as self-evident, plainly required by reason and part of the nature of things. Do you remember the show Kids Say the Darndest Things? Great show. Kids were asked a question like, how much does a house cost? And then they would say $7, and we would all laugh wildly because we know houses don't cost $7. Or if they do cost $7, those probably aren't the kind of houses that we want to buy. But my point is this. It's not right that the people who think a house costs $7 be the one in charge. It doesn't mean they're dumb. It doesn't mean that they can't become whatever they want to be. It just means that they're kids. In fact, we've got a rule in our house that kids get to be kids. They don't have to have the weight of being in charge and making decisions and worrying about if their needs are going to be met and if there's going to be enough food and things to do. They get to be kids. They get to be worried about what it means to be a 4 and a 7-year-old and to have lots of fun and to laugh and to enjoy life. That's their job. That's their job. It makes sense that kids don't make all the decisions. It wears the parents out. Now, just as a side note, as I'm going through this, I don't have this in my mind. I don't want any parent to think that it doesn't mean we don't talk to our kids about what they think is best. We want their opinions. We want them to feel like they're a part of the family. We want them to be a part of the decision-making process. We don't keep them out and have a rough or gruff attitude. But at the end of the day, mom and dad are in charge of what happens in our household. Because we don't trust people who say the house costs $7. So children should obey because it's right. It's just right. But there's another reason that Paul says children should obey and honor. And it is in verse 2. And it says this. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So the first reason we children are supposed to obey their parent is because it's right. It's just the right thing to do. But secondly, there's a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is one of the promises of God that come, or this is one of the statutes of God that comes with the promise. And it's a little tough to understand, I think, because it almost sounds like God is saying, or Paul's saying, if you obey your parents, you're going to become a landowner. It says you'll inherit the land. But I'm not sure that's what he means. There are plenty of obedient children who don't own any land. So what could Paul be talking about? Well, I think what Paul's talking about when he talks about that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land is this. I think it's a general blessing of the Lord. That those who obey and honor their parents will live life better than those who don't. I also think it means that your heart will be acceptable to the spiritual things of God, which means you'll be able to respect and honor Jesus. Now, as I begin to close, I want to say a couple things about discipline because I hinted at it but didn't really talk about it. Firstly, everybody needs to hear this. You need to think through your own situation. Some of your children might come from unique situations or have parameters set on them by the state that are out of your control, or your children might have learning disabilities which make traditional discipline hard and even ineffective. And as parents, we all need to use the brain that God gave us on these issues. And also, moms and dads, we need to be very careful when we go to stores and we see unruly kids and we think thoughts like, they just need a spanking. and I'll give it to them. You don't know their life. You don't know their background. And we need to not make blanket statements about people we don't know. Okay? We don't know their situation. We don't know what they've gone through. We don't know what disabilities they might have. And so sometimes we can become coarse because we see from afar what we think they might need, and we just don't know. We need to use the brains that God gave us, and we need to extend a lot of grace. Secondly, one of the things that has become popular in the last couple of years is to record children's punishment and then put them online. I get it. I am not a fan of it. I think parents need to discipline what is best for the child, not for what is best for retaliation. We should never, ever discipline our kids in an effort to embarrass them. Ever. They are made in the image of God, and they deserve our respect. I get it, but we don't need to do it. We need to discipline in a way that helps the child, not embarrass the child. They need to obey us as children, but moms and dads, one of our jobs is to protect our kids. We need to protect our kids. Finally, I think as we just transition, I think it's good for us to memorize this verse together. Just verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we've got 4 sections this morning. Section 1, section 2, section 3, section 4. So you are going to be children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All right, so we're going to start over here. We're going to say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All right, let's do it again. Children, obey your parents. All right, on your own this time. All right, I think we are a smart enough group that we can all put it together. Ready? So we're going to try it all together. In fact, let's stand for this as we have now memorized a verse of the Bible. We'll just, on the count of 3, everybody together. 1, 2, 3. Amen. God bless you. Ephesians 6, 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be obedient and tender people. Help us to use our brains that you have given us as we raise and discipline our kids. Help us to be gracious with parents who do it differently than we would. And Lord, help us to protect and guard our kids' hearts for love for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the tough days of the families in this room when kids are disobedient, they're just off the walls and they're just being kids. And Lord, I pray for patience and wisdom and support system and friends and all the things we need. Lord, we thank you for Jesus our Savior. And I thank you for Little Rock Church. I pray all this in Jesus' most precious name.